This morning's sermon is called, Who Has Believed Our Report? Part 2 from John chapter 12, verse 44 through 50, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We'll be finishing this chapter this morning, chapter 12. If you brought your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 12. The Lord has some powerful words for us in the Scriptures today, this morning, for us to understand as we go through His Word. I want you to know that this passage took place just days before Jesus went to the cross. We're going to pick up in chapter 13 at the Last Supper, which would have been Thursday. He goes to the cross on Friday, risen on Sunday. In verses 44 through 50, Jesus gives His final public appeal to the people. After this, He only talks privately with His disciples. Even though we have many chapters to go through, John writes maybe five chapters within like 5 days. John had a lot to say. So, and he remembers it like it was yesterday as we go through it. But this is Jesus' final public appeal to the people to believe in Him and to turn to Him. And Jesus lays out the consequences of unbelief and believing. The consequences of unbelief brings judgment. The consequences of believing brings everlasting life. Hallelujah. Jesus' message, which we've been going through since this first chapter, which is all throughout the Scriptures, here's Jesus' message before we go through this. This is Jesus' message to us. Turn to Me with all your heart and soul. Believe in Me. Believe in who I am. Believe in My words. Believe in My resurrection. Believe that I am the Son of God, God in the flesh. Believe that I am the only Savior in the world. And place your faith in Me, trust Me, follow Me, and I will give you everlasting life. That's Jesus' message to the world. Last Sunday, we left off with the Apostle John writing. I'm just going to read these verses before we go into our passage. The Apostle John wrote, "But although Jesus had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in Him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, God has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand their hearts and turn, lest I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw God's glory and he spoke to him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, we read, many believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess that Jesus is Lord, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So now let's pick up, and Jesus is going to cry out to this crowd right here. Let's look at verse 44 and 45. The Apostle John wrote, "Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in Me, believes not in Me, but in Him who sent Me. And he who sees Me, sees Him who sent Me." I want you to notice two words right here. John wrote these two powerful words. Jesus cried out. He yelled. This means Jesus yelled out. He declared loudly to the people, telling them to turn from unbelief to Him in faith. He's not crying out for Himself, but for the people and for us. This was for the people's sake, not his. I'm just going to give you an example of this. Say you're driving down the road, you see someone's drowning in the river, you have a rope, you want to save them, and you cry out to them, you throw the rope and cry out and say, grab the rope. It's for his sake, not for mine, it's for his sake. If he grabs the rope, I can pull him ashore and save him. If he doesn't grab the rope, he drowns and he dies. This would be me crying out to him, grab the rope, you're going to die. This is what Jesus is doing. He's yelling out for their sake. Come to me, turn to me and believe. Believe in me by faith. Jesus cried out, he who believes in me, trusts me, does not only believe in me, but also believes in him who sent me. Jesus is saying that when you believe in me, you also believe in the Father, right? If you believe in the Father, you must believe in me. We're one, right? The people, this is, you see why Jesus is talking like this. The people in the day, as we've been going through this gospel, they believed in God, but they did not believe in Jesus. Jesus is saying, you can't have one without the other. We're one. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is letting them, you cannot have one without the other. Jesus is talking about the union that he has with the Father, right? They are a package deal, if you will, is what he's saying, okay? Right? John wrote in his first epistle, he wrote in chapter 2, verse 23, John wrote, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. 1 John 2:23. So if someone were to say to you, oh yeah, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Hard to imagine, right? There are many people that do think that. They do not believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. John wrote in this chapter of his, he says, you may say, I believe in God, but not Jesus. You know what John the Apostle says? Oh, no, no, no. No, that's not how it works. They are a package deal. This is what he's telling us in his epistle. He literally says, no one that denies the Son has the Father. There are many religions that deny Christ and his deity. And unless they repent, they're going to perish. I told two Jehovah Witnesses that not too long ago. They believe in God, but they do not believe that Jesus is God. They do not believe in the Trinity. Jesus is saying, no. If you believe in the Father, you will believe in me too. We are one. Right? He says in verse 45, Jesus said, he who sees me sees him, the Father, who sent me. We're one, right? If you do not see me for who I am, Jesus says, you don't see God. Back in John chapter 5, we read verse 23, Jesus said, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. Remember Philip, well, we're going to get to chapter 14. Remember the apostle Philip went to Jesus, right, in chapter 14, and he went up to Jesus and he says, Lord, show us the Father. Right? You remember reading that? You guys are in the book? He says, show us the Father. What did Jesus say to him? Philip, have I not been with you this long? Almost to say, Philip, we've had this discussion many times. Right? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Philip. He says, how long do I got to be with you, Philip? I've told you this over and over. If you see me, you've seen the Father. We're one. You know what Jesus is telling Philip? Philip, I'm God in the flesh. He's God. And to deny him as God is blasphemy. He's God. It's from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22. He claims to be God. He is God. If he wasn't God, what'd the Father say in Isaiah? The Father said, I will not share my glory with another. If he wasn't God, he wouldn't be using God's titles. Amen? He's God. Believing in Jesus equals believing in God. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Jesus says that faith in him is not separated from God the Father. If you don't honor me, you don't honor the Father. To believe in Jesus is to believe in the one who sent him, he said. To see Jesus is to see God revealed. Let's take a look at verse 46 and 47. Jesus gives us the purpose of why he came. Jesus cried out, I have come as a light into the world. Underline light in your Bible. Important to know. He said, I have come as the light in the world. That look at this. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness, right? He's saying, remain, right? He who believes in me shall not remain in darkness. And verse 47, he says, and if anyone hears my words and does not believe, Jesus said, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Hallelujah. He came to save the world. He's going to judge the world later, but his first coming, he didn't come to judge. He says, I came to save the world. Jesus tells us in the scriptures that if we put our faith in the light, which is him, right? He said, we will no longer remain in darkness. Right? Faith in Christ brings light into your life, right? Unbelief brings darkness and judgment, which tells all of us that we all started out in darkness. That's important for you to understand as well, right? Paul wrote, Ephesians 5:8, he says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord since coming to Christ. Right? Jesus, you know what Jesus is telling us? He says, hey, listen, you belong to me. You don't need to be in darkness anymore. You don't need to sit in darkness anymore, abide in darkness, remain any longer. You know what Jesus is saying? He says, I brought you out into the light. Why are you sitting in darkness every day? I didn't call you out of the darkness into the light to sit in the darkness. He's saying, I came as a light for you. He tells, do not remain in darkness any longer. This is a command from the Lord to all believers. Do not sit in darkness anymore. I brought you out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. Amen. We were once all sitting in darkness, right? Ephesians 5:8. Jesus says, I've come along, and since you've come to me and surrendered your life, I've taken you out of darkness. Don't be going back to darkness. I brought you out of the darkness into my marvelous light. We live in a world that is walking with darkness, huh? Every day. Jesus is saying, you do not and should not remain in darkness like the world. I've brought you out. You're mine. Don't walk like them. I've brought you out of the darkness. There are many passages in the Bible that speak about the purpose of light. I'm going to share two with you this morning. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Paul wrote, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Listen to this. In the face of Jesus Christ. The light the Lord has given you and me not only illuminates our path, it illuminates God Himself. You feeling the presence of the Lord daily in your life, right? We see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, your Savior. Listen to what Peter wrote, 1 Peter 2:9 through 10. Peter wrote, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." You may not know it or not, but you are special in the sight of the Lord. You are very special as a child of God in His sight. These are God's words to you and to me. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him. Listen, look at what Peter writes. Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who once, Peter writes too, for once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy since coming to Christ. Peter's telling us, since coming to Christ, you are God's special possession. I hope you realize that. If you are in Christ Jesus, a child of God, God says, you are my special possession. You may not feel like it some days, but you are. His special possession. He's telling us, you belong to God. And you are special in His sight. And you notice what Peter wrote? He said, and you are to proclaim God's greatness. That's another command. Now that you know that you are a special possession of Christ, go proclaim His name to others. His greatness. Right? We see this all throughout the Scriptures, right? God telling all the people, hey, don't forget to tell your children and your grandchildren and your generations and generations the great things I've done for you. He commanded them right from the beginning of the Bible. He says, don't forget to tell other people about me and what I've done for you. I can do for them. Don't forget to tell your children, says the Lord, all throughout the Old Testament, all the way through. You have been removed from darkness, brought into His marvelous light, right? You know what you've been removed from? You know what you and I have been removed from? Sin. Ignorance, right? Separation from God. But now we have been brought to Him. Brought into the light, the truth, the salvation, and given a new life, born again. Right? You were once disconnected from God, but no longer. You are now connected with God, Peter says, right? For eternity, you have obtained mercy from God. Believers in Christ are specially chosen and transformed by God. Given a new identity. Listen, given a new identity and a new purpose. To live differently and to point others to Jesus Christ. Back in John chapter 12, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world that everyone who believes in me, everyone who trusts in me. You know what He's talking about? He's talking, everybody that believes in me and trusts in me as Savior, all those who anchor their hope in me and rely on my truth, my message, will no longer live in darkness. That's the Lord's promise to us. Second statement Jesus makes in verse 47, He tells us the purpose He came. He says, I came to save you. I came to save the world. That's you and me. He said, I came for that purpose, was to remove you from darkness and save you and bring you into light, adopt you into God's family. That's why I came, to offer salvation to the world through Him. Jesus mentions this a lot in the scriptures. He wants us to know that his purpose for coming was to save you. He went to the cross to save you. He wants you to know that. Save us from what? Save us from sin, judgment, and eternal hell. And it's free. He said, just come. Just come. And Jesus is inviting everybody, all over the Word of God, just come. Just place your faith and trust in me. That easy? Yeah. If you mean it. If you mean it. Just come. Right? Grace is a gift, right? Something that's been given to you you never earned. It's free. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. Let's look at verses 48. Here's the consequences of unbelief. Not good. Jesus cried out because he knew there was a lot of unbelievers there. A lot of unbelievers. They didn't believe in him. He cried out, he who rejects me and does not receive, listen, my words. Okay? Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words. Then look what he says. Has that which, right? He says, has that which judges him. Okay? So this is what Jesus is saying. He who rejects me and my word has that which judges him. He said, I didn't come to judge you. He's saying, but if you reject me and you do not receive my words, he says, that which, right, has that which judge you. What is he talking about? He says, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. He's saying, hey, I didn't come to judge you. I just want you to know, but if you reject me and you reject my word is going to judge you in the last day. The words I've spoken to you are going to judge you in the last day because you did not receive them. That's tragic. That's not good. That's tragic. There's a serious warning from the Lord, the consequences of unbelief and not coming to Christ. Tragic. You not come to Christ through repentance and faith, you've rejected him. You've rejected the free gift of salvation that God offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it will be, as Jesus said, these are Jesus' words. And it will be the very words that I spoke to you that will judge you on the last day. Wow, is that a warning to the world? But if you choose to truly believe in Christ, look at verse 49 and 50. If you choose to truly believe in Jesus Christ and come to him by faith, look at verses 49 and 50. Here are the consequences of believing, which are marvelous. Jesus cried out, for I have not come on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Look at verse 50. And I know his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Is the consequences of believing and coming to Christ. Very simple. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. He tells the crowd, if you believe in me, you place your faith and trust in me, you are guaranteed eternal life. Everlasting life. Not temporary life. Everlasting life. That's Jesus' promise to us. If you mean it. He said, my Father, I love this. Look at, he said, right? My Father who has sent me, listen to this. My Father who has sent me has given me a command. Okay? You know what that is, right? A message to give to you. He said, my Father who has given me a command, a message for you, and here's his message. Everlasting life in me. That's it. He says, the Father gave me a command to tell you I came to give you everlasting life. Here's the Father's message. go to my son. Right? I mean, this is like basics 101. Go to my son. That's where you're going to find life. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. You must go through my son to get to me, says the Father. Yeah, here's God's message to the world. I want to give you everlasting life. That is the heart of God. I want you to know that. That is the very heart of God. I want to give you everlasting life. And all you got to do is come and believe in me and who I say I am and place your faith and trust in me. That's the heart of God, right? 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That's why Jesus came. He wanted to please the Father, because the Father desires all to be saved. And God has given the world a rescue plan through his Son, Jesus Christ, to be saved. Jesus is telling us in this passage this morning, which is very powerful, this is what Jesus is saying. You can either reject me or receive me. The choice is yours. That's it. This is what he's telling these people 2,000 years ago. He's saying, you can reject me or you can receive me. Your choice. You guys have heard me say this before. God does not reject people. There is not one soul out there on there, I don't care what they've done in their life, that he will not save. His grace will always trump sin. There is not one soul out there that if they turn to him through repentance and faith, he won't save. God does not reject people. People reject God. Amen? It's the most tragic thing a person could ever do in their life. Everybody in hell is a believer now. I want you to think about that. Everybody that's in hell believes now. That's why we've got to share the gospel. Belief and unbelief both have eternal consequences, the Lord said. But here's Jesus' message. No, Jesus said, this is our message. It's one, everlasting life. It's there if you want it. Just come. Incredible, huh? You don't have to do anything fancy. You don't have to go to a time. You got a 12-step program. Go out here and cut the grass every week for the Lord. No. Just come. Like giving an invitation, right? If anyone invite you over, hey, we're having a barbecue today. What should I bring? Nothing. Got it all covered. Come as you are. That's what Jesus is saying. Just come. I've invited you. Come as you are, but don't plan on staying as you are. When the Lord gets a hold of your heart, you ain't ever going to be the same. Come as you are, the Lord says, but don't plan on staying that way. When I get a hold of your heart, man, we serve an amazing, amazing God. This is Jesus' final public appeal before he goes to the cross to the people and to us. If you turn to me with all your heart and soul, if you believe in me, if you believe in who I am, if you believe in my words, believe in my resurrection, believe that I am the Son of God, God in the flesh, believe that I am the only Savior of the world, and place your faith and trust in me, I will give you eternal life, everlasting life. Everlasting means forever. The gospel brings everlasting life to the believer. To repent and believe in the gospel brings everlasting life. The forever consequences of unbelief, separation from God for eternity. God's grace, cut from God's grace, right? It gives us, we're in the age of grace, right? God, which that means God is willing to forgive us until we take our last breath. Okay, age of grace. You cry out, you know, someone on their deathbed cries out, God's going to save them. Because God is a savior by nature, which means he wants to save. But you've got to call upon him. We're in the age of grace. He said, I'm going to give you right until you take your last breath. The problem is, you don't know when your last breath is. That's what I tell all young people. You know, we're young people, right? Yeah, I'm gonna start going to church, Sean, when I'm 70. I got too much going on now. I'm in my 20s, man. I'm going to go out and kill it. Then again, a car accident and died next day. We just had somebody up our way in Campton. I believe he's 18 years old, right, Michelle? Just had a motorcycle accident, died. 18, running wild. As a pastor, whenever I hear a young person dying, first thing I think of, oh, I hope he knew the Lord. Because I know the chances is slim. There's a blessing having Malachi in here, a young man like him, walking with the Lord. He sits in my Bible study every Thursday. He's rare. He's rare. People his age are running with the world. Forever consequences of believing, everlasting life, eternity with God. Eternity with God. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning, your word, the consequences of unbelief and the consequences of believing, Lord. Thank you for speaking into our hearts. Father, help us explain your love and grace to others better, Lord. Help us, Lord, so they can come to you and be part of your family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.